Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Awesome, huh? Isn't that a great story of what God can do in someone's life? You know, next weekend is our opening of Growth Track for the month coming up. The 101 starts, that's church membership. And I really want to take a moment and just encourage you. You know, like John and Kara, how they talked about what God did in their life when they began to serve and begin to live outside of themselves. And you know, let me ask you this. How many of you are glad to go to a church the kids can't wait to get to? Isn't that a great place to be? What an honor to serve in a place like that. Right now, over in the other side of this building, from elementary to preschool, God is moving among the students in a way that's just incredible. And we thank God for all the people serving on our dream team that minister in the children's ministry. It's just awesome. But, you know, maybe you're like John. Maybe you're in a place in your life to where you've kind of hit a lid, you've hit a wall, and you don't know what to do past that. I can promise you that looking within yourself further is not an answer. If there is a God that loves you, He cares for you. Maybe you're like Kara, which is kind of like my background. I remember the first time I came to a church like this. It just freaked me out. No, it really did. I'm just being honest that I used to, as you can tell with my dark hair, my Swedish background, I was raised a Catholic kid. And man, when we went to church, it was solemn and nobody made any noise. I mean, if you did, you know, they'd ask you to leave. And rightfully so. I mean, it was just inappropriate. But, you know, the first time I came to a church like this where people kind of talked and acted like God was alive and worshiped Him. Do you understand that when you get to heaven, the kind of worship you saw people doing today, if that messed you up, don't go to heaven. Because this is, I promise you, when you stand before a living God, when you stand before a Savior, when you see Jesus in heaven with the marks, the scripture still said that He will look as if a lamb that has been slain. You will see His body being the only one that has an eternity that it will be marred. And when you realize that He did that for you, I promise you, you won't do the restaurant prayer, "Jesus, I love You so much. Thank You." You're going to come out of your skin. You're going to worship Him because He is alive. Here's what I want to encourage you today. Don't wait to die to find out He's alive. Don't wait to die to worship God like He's alive. Don't wait to die to find out that there was more meant for you on this earth than what you experienced. I want to encourage you, go through the growth track. Next weekend, 101, Michelle and I will be back there to greet you before and after the session. And it's a time for you can discover what Victory is about. It's a church membership, understanding what it means to connect here, our mission, our vision, how it serves you, and as importantly, how you are called to serve in the kingdom of God. It is so important that you take those steps. And that starts next week again as we start the new month of Growth Track, 101, 201, 301, and 401. So please take full advantage of that. Now this month, I've been so excited for at least the last month and a half about this upcoming series, as it was so strongly in my heart, God dealt with me so strongly to believe Him, to trust Him, to experience His power right now in these services. I'm in the present tense. We always pray and believe God, but I know God wants to do some things by the power of the Holy Spirit right now. And so this week we're going to open this series up, and I'm just going to introduce it to you. Next week, I'm going to be sharing with you the story of the healing of our son. Michelle and our firstborn, Ryan, was born and developed a condition in his body, in his life that's very common today, almost seemingly epidemic. He was autistic. And we've shared this a few times in this church through the years. But, you know, with Ryan still being in high school, we were sensitive to not talking a lot about it when he was still a kid. But even that, I have to be really, really candid. It is so sacred to us that if it ever feels like it's being sensationalized, it just offends our heart. And it's so sacred to us that we don't want to just talk about it to talk about it. There's not a day of my life, and I'm sure Michelle as well, not a day of our lives to go by that we are not so utterly thankful for the mercy of God that healed our son. And I'm going to talk to you about that story next week. I'm going to share that testimony of the healing power of God in our son's life. And autism, if there are parents in our church like us that have children who had a child or have a child with special needs, that's why we have a class here called Endless Possibilities. And we serve families whose kids have special needs in their life. And we want to stand with them and care for them and support them. But we also want to believe God for the impossible in their life. There's endless possibilities in God. And we want to pray and believe God with families as well. So next week, I'll be sharing the testimony of Ryan's healing. And it's a great opportunity for you to bring people who have needs in their life, whether it's for the children or themselves. The following week, Diego Mesa will be here. He's from Rancho Cucamonga, California. He pastors a fantastic church there. I don't know, they have 5,000, 6,000, 7-plus people, 1,000 people showing up on a weekend. But all that aside, God did a miracle in this man's life. When he finished their building project, this is now, I think, 5-6 years ago, they moved into their new facility. It was, I think, a $54 million project. How many of you know that's a big old kind of project? And it might not be, now in California, that's probably, you could probably build it for half here. How many of you know it's half price to live in Pennsylvania? Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, Diego was diagnosed with a form of kidney cancer that metastasized into his bones. And the doctors gave him just a 50% chance of even living through the first year. And there really was no traditional or forms of treatment other than a chemotherapy pill. And it was pretty much a death sentence. I was speaking at a leadership conference I was asked to speak at last week, a week or so ago, and Diego was there attending. And I'd known about him, I'd heard about him. In fact, I heard when he was diagnosed and was pretty much going around, you know, that listen, praying for Diego, because basically he was given a death sentence. And I think we're 7 years into it now, and he's running marathons. And so God has done an amazing work in his life. It's an incredible story of healing. It really is. And Diego wrote a book about it called How to Dream When You're Told You're Going to Die. And then it says cancer stage 4. It's just a number. And so I asked him to go ahead and send the books in advance. They're available out there out by the fountain area. And I want to encourage you to pick them up, give them away, encourage people, because he's going to come and he's going to be praying for the sick as well. And so Diego will be here, not next week, but the following week. The next week after that, I'm going to be teaching the details of the steps of faith that we took in the healing of our son. I'll be sharing pretty much the story next week. Then Diego, then the week after that, I'm going to drill down into the Word of God and show you how to take hold of the Word of God when a hopeless situation comes into your life. Has anyone here ever felt hopeless, or am I the only one? Is anybody, you might be here today and hopelessness has kind of found a rooted place in you. God doesn't want you to live that way. Then finally, the last week of this, at least for now, it might go longer, I don't know. See, why don't you know? Because I don't know. And we'll find out when we get there. But the last week of this, Christopher Alam is going to be here. Christopher has a ministry that literally is touching the world. He does part of the ministry is he does open air gospel crusades in Africa, and he has a ministry base in Zimbabwe, and Christopher literally is seeing upwards. I mean, there have been years in his ministry where they have seen in their meetings over 1 million people come to Christ. Guys, that's an incredible harvesting ministry, isn't it? And you're a part of that as we support it every month. But he also prays over the sick in those meetings, and I've been in those meetings. I stood by Christopher in the meetings, and I've watched God do incredible things. I've watched the healing power of God flow in ways that is so humbling to see. You know, I remember years ago when Michelle and I were living in Africa, and we were a part of a ministry very similar to Christopher's. And what we would do is I would speak in churches when the crusades were not running, and because it took a long time to get them set up. But when they were running, we would do the pastor's conferences during the day. And we just kind of came to the evening services and we helped serve like everyone else. They gave us a job and we did our job. Well, my job this one night was to interview the people with an interpreter who proclaimed or said they were healed, because they would actually let people come up on the platform, interview them, and they would tell what God did in their bodies. And there'd be nights where there'd be 30, 40,000 people present. And, you know, so my job was to kind of make sure somebody just wasn't being sensational and lying. And so you did your best to vet them. And I was working with an interpreter. Well, the one night when I was doing my job, the guy that was preaching, he preached and prayed for the sick. And right when he started praying, over to this side of the crowd, and it's just mass wall-to-wall people. I can tell you this about Africa. Now, if you know anything, if you've ever been to Africa and a lot of different parts of the world, they don't have spatial issues like Americans do. How many of you know men, we like man space? How many of you men go to somewhere and you have a seat between you and you pray to God nobody sits by you? It's just, it's an American kind of thing. There are other parts of the world, they don't have spatial issues. They'll get right up beside somebody. How many of you men have ever been on a plane praying in the name of Jesus when you see somebody coming down the aisle that's bigger than you and you go, oh, Jesus, please don't put him in my row. You're praying for some petite little teenage kid to sit right beside you. You're like, thank you, Jesus. But not that way in Africa. I mean, packed side by side by side. Well, as he was praying over the sick, And he finished up the prayer. You began to hear, I was watching it. I was standing on this side of the platform. Over back maybe 30, 40 feet into this massive crowd, you began to hear these screams and these shouts. And I mean shouts like a football game touchdown, like this afternoon when we play the Colts. How many of you believe in God? Jesus can do something for us this weekend. Hallelujah. Help us, Jesus. You say, well, Jesus isn't a Steeler fan. Yes, he is. He said, well, I don't see that in the Bible. Well, you can't prove it, disprove it either by the Bible. I just believe he is. Plus, the Colts have a guy named Andrew Luck. They've already got Luck. We've got Jesus. There you go. And so when a ball game, somebody hits, you hear a crowd just roar. Well, there was a section, and it just kind of grew. And I mean screaming, shouting. And the guy that was speaking, Ed Elliott, stopped, and he said, what's happened over here? And they began to push this guy through the crowd. And so Ed looks at me and he said, John, see what happened. So I go over to him, and of course he doesn't speak English, and I have an interpreter with me, and I said, tell me what's happened. He said, I was blind and I can see. And I said, okay, well, and I'm trying, you know, I want to find out, is he just making this up? But I'm wondering, why do all these people, you know, can you imagine if there's a person that's blind in your community, that particularly in those type of communities, you're known. Well, I looked at his eyes. Now, it was very dark where he was, but when it came up on the platform, there were lights. When I looked at his eyes looked like all the color had gone out of them. And the bottom half of the circles, it looked like someone took them out, cut them into little squares, and indiscriminately just threw them back in. And I'm looking at his eyes thinking, there's no way this man can see through these eyes. So I honestly didn't believe him. Now, there are, you know, about 300 or 400 people over here screaming, while I'm testing the guy, right? And so I'm doing this. I'm saying, how many, you know, and I said, tell the guy, tell him to do what I'm doing. I hold up a finger. He holds up a finger. I hold up two. He holds up two. I touch my nose. He touches his nose. I'm ashamed of this, but I'm just being honest with you. Here's what my thought was. How is he doing that? I'm thinking, well, you know, because I got my job to do, you know, So I'm looking at the guy and I'm perplexed. I'm thinking, there's no way that man can see out of those eyeballs. There's no way. How can he be doing this? And there's people screaming and just, you know, bless my Thomas heart, you know, the doubter. I'm just like this. I'm looking at the guy. Finally, you know, it came upon my brilliant mind. Well, Shazam. That's third Gomer Powell, verse 5, if you don't know Gomer. But anyway, he brought him over and, you know, and of course this place went wild. It went absolutely wild. The scripture says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, here's what I want to ask you as a Christian. Is that true or isn't it? See, can I tell you really honestly, do you know that this kind of stuff makes a lot of Christians nervous? You might be here today and a little nervous about it. Are you one of those faith healing churches? Are you a faith healer? I've had people go, are you a faith healer? I couldn't heal a gnat's eyelash. Neither can you. We serve a living God who is a healer. I'm more concerned about Christians that don't believe God can heal. I'm more concerned about Christians that think God's old and nervous and can't move anymore. How many of you know God is not immobile? And yet so many Christians, in fact, we've wrapped doctrines around this stuff. We've actually, in the name of Jesus, held on to things that literally undo our capacity to trust God that you won't even find in the Bible. And precious people, and I don't mean this to be critical, but they get nervous when you talk about the healing power of God. Well, in fact, I've had people literally almost say that. They'll say it like, well, you know what, this prayer thing where you're praying for the sick and expecting miracles and all that, that just makes me really nervous. Like, that shouldn't be happening in church. Where should it be happening? In a bar? If it can't happen here, come on. Do you know how odd it must sound like to God? Say, Lord, it makes me nervous that you manifest yourself. Really? Why would that make you nervous? Well, religion will mess you up. Religion will help you hold on to a lie and ruin your life. The Bible said, I am the Lord your God and I do not change. The book of James says there's not even a shadow of turning in him. Hebrews 13:8 said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you what religion will be comfortable with. Yesterday and forever. You want to find out when people struggle? When you talk about today. And let's get beyond today. I want to talk to you in the next 30 minutes about God showing up. Listen to me. Right now, and manifesting his healing power now, in this service, now. You are here sick, you leave healed. He said, well, that makes me nervous. What makes me nervous is that God makes you nervous. Shouldn't be nervous as a Christian. Now, if you don't know God, you don't know Jesus, you don't know the scripture, I can understand you being a little apprehensive. But if you know Jesus, him showing up not to be a problem. He is the same. And the doctrine that's kind of been formulated around this is something along this line, that when scripture was formed and there was the canon of scripture, and when the last apostle died, then all of the miraculous ceased. God stopped doing those things. Now, my Bible said he never changes, but I guess religion said he did. I'm going to choose to believe God. And can I tell you this as well? A person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. See, I know what it's like to see God work and see it not just out in the lives of other people, but I've experienced his healing mercy, and it is the mercy of God. Oh, I'm so grateful. And so you see, I don't need to debate it. My answer will be here next weekend while we're talking about it, he's home on his fall break. The boy that was supposed to live with us the rest of his life is coming home from a fall break from an Ivy League school. So I don't need to have an argument. I have an experience with God. And I want you to experience his faithfulness. His faithfulness. His faithfulness. Now, let me make it really clear. There are no great men and women of God. There's just a great God. So, well, you must be really holy. Ask Michelle. I'm like any other guy. I'm a human being. And she's like any other woman. She's a human being. Now, she's had a little bit more to deal with being married to me than most. But you know what? Jesus loves her anyway. And there's a martyr's crown for her in heaven. If she ever complains, I tell her, baby, all the good martyrs are dead. That'll get you on the way home. Anyway, but if God stopped healing people, that means he had to stop at a given day. And if you really take the religion out of it, it means he had to stop at a given hour, a given minute, a given second, where God was still moving and still healing and still doing what he did through Jesus throughout the scripture and after the resurrection of Jesus through the church. And it had to stop. Now, let's just take the religious teaching that it stopped when the last apostle died. And the last apostle they're referring to are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the last one to have physically died was John, the writer of the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of Revelation, that John. And by the way, I just want you to know the last apostle isn't dead, because the first apostle is the last apostle. The Bible calls Jesus the high priest and the apostle of your faith. How many of you know that apostle ain't dead? And so, but let's just hypothetically, let's say that's accurate. That means that there would have been, let's just say John is dying. He's on the Isle of Patmos and he's giving his last breath. He's 100+ years old, evidently. He's about to die. But over in Ephesus, there's a prayer meeting, and God is moving miraculously, healing the sick. And John is over on the Isle of Patmos. He's about to die. And God is moving, and God is moving, and people are being touched by his power. John dies, and they go, oh, we're done. We can't pray for you anymore. Why? Because John died. Because when John died, God changed. He went, okay, don't need to do anything more. No, I don't want to help you anymore for real. I'll just kind of be with you. Can I be really honest? I'm going to be anyway, so I'm just asking for permission because I'm nervous. I'm not. The Lord be with you, brother, and also with you. What's that mean? The Lord be with you and also with you. Why is he there? To be a hitchhiker through life? Lord, I'm in trouble. Yes, you are. Will you help me? I'm with you. For what? I'm here. What are you going to do? Watch. Religion will make you, the Lord be with you. That's a sweet thing to say, but what's he there for? My Bible said he's with you to deliver you. Amen. God doesn't show up anywhere and leave it the same. Are you kidding me? I know just growing up, my father taught me. He said, don't you ever go somewhere and leave it like you found it. You make it better. My dad had enough sense to teach me that. Surely God doesn't show up somewhere and go, Lord, what do you want to do about this? Well, you know, I'm just here because John's dead. Yeah, the last apostle died and our hands are tied. I can't do stuff anymore. Plus, I'm old. I need a nap. My point to you is simply this. Until you understand he is the same and that religion has painted him in a way that does not speak the truth about him, and it takes your expectation for God to show up in your real life away from you. And if he does show up, it adds so many rules and conditions that he'll never do it for you. In other words, God only works for people that are perfect. Well, if that's true, he doesn't work for anybody. Well, people that are more perfect than me. You don't know people. You think you know somebody. You don't know their stuff. You don't know where they're... Everybody has stuff in their life. Well, I know people that don't know. You just don't know them very well. And let me be even plainer, because I'm trying to set the table for you to have an expectation of God to do something amazing in your life. I want you to expect him in your everyday life. What used to really mess me up, and I'm not being critical of ministers or preachers, I am one, is I would listen to guys preach and speak, and when they were done, I would think, man, I wish I could be like them. Because they never had problems. They never had any issues. They just seemed to wake up in the morning, the hallelujah chorus went off. It was just incredible. And I'd listen to them speak, and I thought, man, I can never be like that. Then I got to know some of those people. They aren't that way either. In real life, they're telling you the best of the... Listen, how many of you realize God, our lives are not like Facebook? Most people just, you know, they see... Well, they only put pretty stuff typically on Facebook. Most people don't say, look how I'm ugly today. People, like, they're editing their stuff. They edit. When you see people's lives, you see the edited version. But you see yours in totality. Nothing's been edited. And you compare an edited life to your real life, and then you begin to throw that over on God. Listen, God moves for people because he loves people. Period. Until you understand it is the love and the grace and the mercy of God that compels him to move in your life, you will never expect him to do it. You'll always create conditions that put barriers between you believing and trusting God. The fact of it is the grace of God, the Bible says, has appeared to all men. But grace has to be, you have to mix something with the grace of God. And the Bible says it has to be mixed with faith. God has done everything he's ever going to do about anything in my life. When Jesus died, was buried and rose from the dead, he did all he'll ever need to do. Faith is when I make a demand, listen to me, yes, the word, a demand on the grace that's upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And my hope in these 5 weeks is that many people, and we last night, we already saw people experience the power of God, came in here sick, left healed. God is faithful. But beyond all that, I want your heart to change. I want your expectation to change. I want you to realize that there's nothing in your life that's too big for God to show up and to bring deliverance and help to you because of what Jesus has done for you. Look with me in the scripture to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Just want to read a scripture to you, share a little bit, and then we're going to pray. And I'm going to be expecting God to show up now in your life. And let me say this as well. We're not going to get, you don't have to get, well, you're going to do something crazy. You don't have to be crazy to trust God. In fact, you have to be kind of crazy not to. See, people always attract and attach, it has to be weird. Jesus was, the Bible said there was nothing about him that men would desire him. He appeared common, but God showed up and the Spirit of God was upon him. He was God in the flesh. And when he yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit, amazing things happened. How many of you know Jesus liked to, he ruined a couple good funerals? Man, I got to tell you. How many of you know when he raised a mama's 12-year-old from the dead out of a coffin on the way to put the boy in the ground? How many of you know that changed a funeral? Do you know we serve a God that the Bible said makes alive dead things? Don't limit what you expect from God in your life. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it happened when Jesus was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy, everybody say full of leprosy. He saw Jesus and he fell on his face and he implored him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one. He said, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Everybody say, hear and be healed. Now, I want you to understand what's happening here. There's a man full of leprosy. Now, in the cultures of those days, the way they dealt with infectious disease is they separated or quarantined people. You were not allowed to have physical touch or any kind of contact if you had any kind of skin disorder. Or if you had any type of oozing stuff coming out of your body anywhere or blood out of your body anywhere, you were commanded that when you came into a public place, if an individual was going to come within the space of where they could touch you, you were commanded by the law to scream and shout unclean and people would move away from you. A leper, in fact, that's where you understand there were leper colonies. They kept them in one place. They believed it to be a disease that if you touch somebody, it could be communicated through touch. So they kept lepers away from people. So this leper, number one, is breaking laws by even being out in this proximity to where Jesus could literally be close enough to touch him. But he's desperate. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody with leprosy. It is a horrible disease. And he asked of Jesus a simple question. He said, Lord, if you want to, if you're willing, you can make me well. And he asked a question that most Christians still have not answered. Does God want me well? Is he willing to make me well? See, very few people doubt the ability of God. To be really honest with you, I think it would be more insulting to God. I think it's more insulting to God to doubt his ability than to doubt his willingness. I'd rather somebody say, I don't know if God can do it, than to say God would do it. Because my Bible tells me that he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give you all things? Until you answer this question, in fact, here's how most people pray for healing. Lord, if it be your will, and then they fill in the blank. You didn't ask God for anything. You asked a question. Get the question answered. Until you get your question answered, you haven't prayed yet. How many of you know you need to know the will of God before you can pray? That's not what you don't throw a prayer in the air and say, well, we'll just wait and see what happens. You need to know that it is God's will to heal you. See, in any other area of Christianity, nobody would do that. How many of you have ever led someone to Jesus? Raise your hand. All right, the rest of you, go get busy. You need to do that. It's an awesome thing. But how many of you would do it this way? Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus, and you tell them the story of how to give their life to Christ. And they say, okay, can we pray together now? And the person says, yes, let's pray. And you say, well, what's going to happen for me? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray that Jesus will come into your heart if he wants to. But he might not. Because you never know about God. He might come, he might not. But you can ask him. But he might not come. How will I know if he can? Well, here's how we're going to say, Jesus, come into my heart if it be your will. But if not, don't. Anybody ever heard someone pray that, or lead someone to Christ that way? They would throw you out of the lead the people to Christ class. Right? And you say, well, how will I know if it worked? Well, when you die, if it gets awfully hot quick, he didn't come. If you go to be with him, he's stuck. How will I know? You can't know. You never know about God. Now, nobody would do that where salvation's concerned. But when it comes to anything other than the salvation of your soul, people throw, and if it be thy will. Now, there are times to pray if it is the will of the Lord. The Bible said, don't you ever go and say, I'm going to move to such and such a city. It's because I'm for gain or for a good job. It said, I'll move there if it's the will of God to move there. You don't just direct your own life. I know when we had an opportunity, a Christian, you know, they're headhunters for pastors, looking for pastors for churches. I had a guy get a hold of me and he said, there's an opportunity. We really want you to consider it. And we know about what, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was in West Stinking Palm Beach. And listen, and they were going to pay me more money. He said, you'll make, he asked me, he said, this is what, and I didn't tell him, but he's telling me what the, I'm thinking, West Palm Beach, more money. West Palm Beach, less money. I don't get West Palm Stinking Beach. And winter's coming. I said, please, sir, don't ever call me back again unless it's Minnesota. It's easy to say no to Minnesota. But I don't get to go where I want to go. You go where God sent you to go, where you're called to be, where your heart, where you know that you have the peace of God. You just can't go anywhere you want to go. There are times when you should be praying if it be the will of the Lord, but not when it comes to the things Jesus died for. All right, I'll tell you a story. This happened in the state of Texas. Now, I know no one in Pennsylvania could be this stupid, so it's this happened in Texas. And if you're from Texas, we don't mean to offend you. Because we don't know if this person was even from Texas, but it happened in Texas. But we can surmise maybe they were, but that's up. If you're from Texas, you assume they weren't. There was a woman who, you ever meet people, they're just a few bubbles off plumb? You know what I mean? All the pistons aren't firing. If they're a cartoon, it's bleep, 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 that's all, folks. Okay, this lady determined, there was a certain minister, a nationally known minister, that she said she desired to marry him. So she claimed him and said, Lord, I want him as my husband. So she started to pray that his wife would die. Yeah, she's a few bubbles off plumb. But here's the deal. How many of you know God's not listening to prayers? How many of you know God's not out to kill preachers' wives? So some crazy woman came out. She even bought a wedding dress, had an in-the-spirit wedding. That's crazy, isn't it? He said, no, it'd be that crazy in Pennsylvania. I told you, it's in Texas. But here's the deal. You can't pray for something you don't know to be the will of God. And God, Jesus answered the willingness question. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, religion is fine with yesterday God or tomorrow God, but religion gets nervous when you talk about God right now in the next 5 minutes of your life. 5 minutes from now, I'm going to be praying that the power of God sweeps this room for every person that lifted her hand, and I'm believing that his supernatural healing, miracle-working power will fall right now in your life. That's where religion gets nervous. God in the future, fine. God in the past, fine. But what about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and then forever? He's the same. He answered the willingness question. I am willing. And then he reached through all the sorrow of the world. He reached through all the religious traditions. He reached past the law and he touched a leprous person and made them whole. He is a healing God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus called sickness. He called disease satanic oppression. He talked about a woman bound with the spirit of infirmity. He said, should not this woman be healed whom Satan has bound? Sickness doesn't come from God. Amen. It doesn't come from his heart. Yeah, but you know, the Lord uses it to teach us. Well, let me ask you a question. Ephesians says we should imitate God as dear children. Is that in the Bible? Yes or no? It is. Ephesians 5:1. Be imitators of God as dear children. If God is making his kids sick to teach them, then you ought to do the same to yours. You ought to get your kids around some good old Ebola so they can learn. You wouldn't do it for anything in the world, but you would turn around in the name of religion and accuse God of something they would put you in prison for. Oh, how religion has twisted our minds and our hearts and understanding the goodness of God. We have accused God of things we would put people in prison for. Well, you know, the Lord's going to do this to make me. No, God is not going to put things on you to teach you. There is a Holy Spirit. The Bible said he is the teacher of the church, not outward conditions. God wants to do something in your life because he loves you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You find one place. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You study the four Gospels. You find one place where Jesus did anything to anybody ever but good. You won't find it. He's the same. And religion has so lied to people. And we bought into the lie that we won't even forget, trust God. We won't even expect God. And if we do, we put so many ladders in front of us, we can't ever climb them all. Let me tell you why God wants to show up today. Because he loves you. That's why. Because of his great love that he loved you with, that Christ died for us while we were yet dead in our sins and trespasses. Would our worship, whoever's doing with the worship, come on back up. I want us to wait in his presence for a moment, and I want to pray over you. You say, well, this isn't about years and weeks. This is about trusting God. You can do that in 8 seconds. Would you bow your heads with me as we just wait on God for a moment here? We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. If you came here today and in the beginning of this service, you raised your hand and you said, Pastor John, I'm expecting God to do the impossible in my life today. Maybe it's healing that you need. Maybe it's a miracle in your life. I don't know. Whatever that might be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to, as Mara sings this song, I want you to prepare your heart. Don't beg God. Don't say, Lord, please, and make 30 promises. I want you to have one thing in your heart, that he'll do the impossible for me today because he loves me, and I'm going to trust him. I'm going to expect him to do it in my life because he loves me. As she plays this and sings it, just let God deal with your heart. Worship you. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you were here, you raised your hand. You said, I expect. I want the impossible. I want God to do it in my life today. I want you to lift both hands to heaven right now as just an act of faith. And I want to pray over you. Father, I thank you for the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, special faith to flow in this place where people receive of your glorious healing power right now. I thank you. I pray and exercise dominion in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, for your healing power. I thank you that it belongs to us in Christ. We make a demand upon it by faith, and as you sweep across this room in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that. Thank you for your healing power. I thank you for bringing life to broken things. I thank you for doing the impossible. I thank you for things incurable are made whole in your presence. That nothing is impossible with you. I thank you for your healing power. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father God. As we just wait in his presence, things that come up in my heart is something with your jaws. I don't know. These are things, the Bible calls it a word of knowledge. It's just a fragment, but it's by the Spirit of God that he wants to do great things for people. Something in your jaws. I don't know what it is, but it is healing power right now. I would assume pain is even present right now. If it is, just begin to move that and receive that power in Jesus' wonderful name. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Oh, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I thank you for that situation. It runs down past your hip. I don't know whether it's in the bone, in the muscle, nerve. I don't know what that is. But the healing power of God, I thank you, Father God, right now to work and move that right now. Move it right now and experience his healing power. We worship you, Lord. Nothing is impossible with you. 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 Now, Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. And I thank you for your healing power it revealed in this place. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. It is so good to worship a living God. The Bible tells us it's good to thank him for what he's done, to tell of what he's done. I'm not going to embarrass you or ask you to even stand, not that it would embarrass you at all, but it helps people to see that what God is doing for you, he'll do for them. Last night, there were many people that God, they came in here with conditions. There's some conditions you can't tell, obviously, without examination, but there are situations, you're in pain, you're not. That's pretty simple. Something was messed up and now it isn't. That's really simple. If that happened for you right now, see, I had these symptoms that, and they're gone. They're greatly lessened, whichever. I know there's a change, that you've experienced his power. Listen to me. Jesus today, Jesus today, Jesus today, that you've experienced. And it may have already happened before I ever prayed. If that happened for you, just right where you're seated, lift your hand real high so we can just thank God with you. Praise God. Isn't God good? Look at that. God, thank you. Thank you. Hands. God bless you. God is so good. He is so good. Please let us know what God's doing in your life. We want to share these stories with people. This is just the beginning of it. Next week, I want to talk to you about what God did in our son's life. Diego Mesa will be here the following week. I want to encourage you, make sure you grab his book. It'll be available. It's out there. Following week, I'll be sharing with you the steps that we walk through, how to believe God in the impossible. The following week will be Christopher Along. This is a great time for you to bring people with you to church and believe God over their life, people that you love. Let's let God be God in this place. Let's experience his presence and his power. Oh, what God is doing in the lives of people. Oh, how he loves you. Would you bow your heads with me today? And I want to make sure everybody here knows Christ. If you'll just stay seated with me through the end of the service. I just want to pray over people that don't know Christ. If you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, that is, if you died today, you don't know where you'd spend your eternity. The Bible says there really is a heaven, there really is a hell, and Jesus died to pay that debt for you. So if you're here today and you don't know what would happen to you if you drew your final breath and were to slip into an eternity, you say, Pastor, please include me in a prayer. I want to invite Christ in my heart to be the Lord of my life. Church won't make you a Christian. Denominations won't make you a Christian. Sacraments of a church won't make you a Christian. There is salvation in no church, including this one, only in Jesus. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to the one who gave his life for you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud together with you. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. With heads bowed, eyes closed, you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Right where you're seated, lift your hand real high so I can see it and I'll pray for you. Do it right now and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. You've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, please include me with those that have. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. You've not yet raised your hand. You can see it. You're not going to be singled out or embarrassed. Say, Pastor, include me with those that have raised their hand. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Do it right now. One last moment. We're going to pray. Thank you so much. God bless you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you or forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God and my sin is washed away. I am heaven bound and I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.